Blog Talk Radio.
Assalam alaikum. This is Rashid Shalom, your engineer for the night show of Parent and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab. Our listening audience is prepared for an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This particular episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children. And our listening audiences are invited to bring questions as well as share their parent experiences to the Learning Lab. With that, I'd like to bring to you your host for tonight's show. Here's Mark Shaheed. As-salamu alaykum, Mark.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. وَشَهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بَعْدُ. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in an excellent salutation. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each week here on IWDM Radio. And for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, Dr. Slaw-Dean and myself, we want to welcome you to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. This is an opportunity to bring it to the lab, questions that you may have in regards to what is correct parenting and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. And for those of you tuning in for the first time, we do invite you to ask questions and to make comments on some of the commentary, the information, education that we disseminate each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. And you can do that by pressing 1. And my engineer, Rashid Salam, will notify me that you have your hand in the air, one to ask a question or make a comment. We also want to invite those who listen in, we call our core listenership, that generally don't say very much through the learning lab. If what you hear tonight is resonating with you, then we'd like to hear from you too, and you can do that by pressing 1. I want to say to those who are listening in by way of the Internet, and we know we always have a good audience listening in by way of the Internet, for you to be a participant, you do have to call in to the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, the studio number is 714-816-4673. This is an excellent time where we are just giving a prelude to this Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab to notify members in your family, your friends, your associates, your neighbors, community members, because all of us are part of a family and all of us have been parents before. We also want to say before we do our overview that this learning lab has been established on a foundation, a very solid foundation, as we use as the source of this learning lab, along with the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Al-Quran, the life example of the Prophet in the demonstration of the Quran, and also the tafsir, meaning the clear explanation by one of our beloved scholars and leaders, Imam Worth Uddin Muhammad. Those are the foundation for this learning lab. And we have, for now, almost closing on 6 weeks, we have an outstanding publication that was authored by Dr. Muhammad and Ikram, Sister Ikram, I can't remember the last day. That's kind of eluded me here. But have authored the book Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah, Practical Application by Various Ages. It's an excellent publication, and Dr. Salawuddin will give you information how you can actually purchase that publication. And the last name is Bashir. Praise be to Allah, it came to me, Bashir. so you can actually type that in, and it will give you the information in terms of how you can actually purchase this book so you can follow along with us. I want to also state that we have established some staple things here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And that is in terms of giving a very simplistic but a very profound definition for parenting. We say that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our beloved baby boys and baby girls from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big responsibility not only for the mother but also for the father in the nurturing and the cultivating of these vital components that comprise the totality of the human being. And also the role and responsibility for the parents is to raise our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities first and foremost for themselves, their family, and community. And having that mindset and disposition and understanding what our relationship, obligation, responsibility is to our children as parents, that we believe that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking. Also, we have established here as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Most High, is the first teacher for all human beings. He has given the honor and distinction to the mother to be the first teacher, but also the first leader for our baby girls and also for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the prayers and peace be upon him, has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, meaning that she will be the one that will give the foundational knowledge not only to our baby girls, but to our baby boys. And with that being said, as always, with those of you tuning in for the first time, we always do an overview of the last episode of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. But you can also get it in its entirety in the archives. And for that, we go to our very distinguished esteemed, the co-host, co-facilitator, producer, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Salahuddin.
Wa alaikum wassalam, Mark. How are you this evening?
Oh, you know, I'm always fired up. It's Wednesday, so that means it's the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab time, and we want to bring it to the lab because we know that the family, the sacred institution of family life, is the first institution in human society. So if we're ever going to get things corrected, it's got to start right there. So back to you, Dr. Salahuddin, and welcome.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. As Mark said earlier, to hear the entire episode of any of the Parenting and Reconstruction Learning Lab shows, go to blogtalkradio.com and select Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So we give you a summary of the previous show. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab overview, July 13th, 2022. And of course, our resource is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and Sunnah by Dr. Ekram and Dr. Muhammad Rida Bashir. And you may purchase this book at Amana Book Publications. That's www.amana-publications.com, and you may also purchase the book at Amazon, so you can find it in two places. Last week we worked on chapter one, and the episode continues with chapter one, and it's entitled Self-Search. In chapter one, the authors give the reader six steps to implement the self-search process. And those six steps are search, evaluate, acknowledge, reinforce, change, and hang on. And that spells search. The purpose of completing the self-search process is to make sure that what parents say and do has a proper impact for their children. It also helps children to build a strong, balanced personality, have a positive outlook on life, and be confident. The first step, which is search, is the process of searching within ourselves and reviewing all the actions and parental behaviors that we use with our children. We start by digging deep into our past to uncover reasons that might be the source of our parental behavior. The authors provided a 10-point questionnaire to conduct the self-search. During the last episode, we completed the last five questions as the first five questions were covered in the prior show. The last five self-search questions covered, one, parent-child relationship and how your parents held you responsible for your actions. Two, did your parents appreciate you or compare you to siblings or other children? And three, who had a positive effect on you during your childhood? Who was that person that had that positive effect on you while you were growing up? And four, who had a negative effect on you during your childhood? So those were the questions that were that were covered last week. Now, in response to those questions, we had participation from the audience, and we also had, of course, yours truly and Brother Rashid and Brother Mark. So from discussing the question of responsibility, we concluded that learning responsible behavior can benefit us in childhood as well as in adulthood. And from discussion on comparing children, we concluded that it is beneficial to find good in each child. This builds confidence in the child, and please do not compare children to siblings or other children. This action can create inadequacy, jealousy, and rivalry among siblings. It can also create low self-esteem and lack of self-worth. Instead, validate children to do their best. For the question regarding the person who had a positive effect on you and the person who had a negative effect on you, the takeaway is this. In the home and school environments, children need to feel connected, accepted, and nurtured. Parents must create environments that offer their children experiences that will facilitate their growth. If a child cannot feel connected, accepted, and nurtured, he or she will feel abandoned, rejected, and may feel abused mentally or emotionally. This could damage their self-esteem. In conclusion, from the information in step one search, we took a deep dive into our past experiences with our parents to uncover the source of our own parental behavior. The discussions from these questions revealed that the experience we had with our parents have influenced our parenting behaviors. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah, and that simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always. I want to thank Dr. Patricia Slaw-Udin for giving an excellent overview, as she always does each and every Wednesday here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Some of the highlights, just want to just say in that overview, the connection, be connected, accepted, and nurtured is in the word can, C-A-N. So, you know, we do ask when you come to the Learning Lab to bring an open mind, open heart, but bring your pen and bring your pad, your paper, and take good notes. This is an interactive Learning Lab, and Dr. Slaw-Udin and myself would love for that have the participation of the radio listening audience, and that can is very, very important. It can be underscored. All children, even when you become an adult, this is very important. It's just three letters. Every child, both male and female, want to be connected. We are talking about family. Want to be connected. They want to be accepted. And they need to be nurtured. You know, even in marriage life, you want to be connected, you want to be accepted, and you want to be nurtured. So just remember that if you don't feel connected, then the opposite is abandoned. And so now you understand we can see how and why some of our children, when they leave outside the door, they be, especially the males, choose to join a gang or become a gang member because they're not feeling connected or accepted, feeling rejected. And then the opposite of nurture is abuse. And it's not only just in terms of looking at physical abuse, but we're looking at psychological, emotional, social abuse. And sometimes that can be it just is devastating to a child. So remember, always you want to keep your child connected, accepted, and in a nurturing environment. And so now we're going to move right into tonight's production here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And Dr. Patricia Saldane, I believe we are on the second letter of this acronym in terms of search, which is E, to evaluate. And so what highlights do you have for us, and what information can you start us off with, Dr. Saldane?
Okay. Well, in the second letter, E, evaluate, now this is to make an assessment of the action or saying used with our children. So you got to, whatever you're doing, you want to evaluate that. So the writer's given us a way of measuring that evaluation. And what we're looking for is the action. Was the action that I had with my child, was it positive? Was it supportive? And three, was it based on the Quran and Sunnah? Now, one of the things we want to point out that if to determine if it is based on Quran and Sunnah, it is important to have knowledge of Quran and Sunnah. So therefore, if a parent doesn't know what the Quran and Sunnah says, then they won't know if what they're doing is based on it, and they won't know to use it. So we want to encourage parents to become knowledgeable of what is in the Quran and what is the Sunnah of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. And those are the two things. And and of course, the opposite of that is negative. You know, when the action that you've done, is it negative? Is it unsupportive? And is it not based in the Quran and Sunnah? And what the writer gave us was an example of a negative action. He gave us an example that if a parent is trying to resolve a conflict with their child while they're angry, then more than likely they're going to be yelling and shouting and fighting with the child just to vent their anger. And this is a negative parental behavior. And what they suggest, what the author suggests, is that if we control our anger by using anger management techniques prescribed to us by our beloved prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and then we want to teach our children the same. And then, of course, you discuss whatever the problem is. You discuss it calmly with your child.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the positive approach. So that's the explanation of evaluate. And then after that, they gave us questions.
Yes. Now, before we go to the questions, let me give a little insight in terms of what it is that the prophet has said in regards to anger. And this is noteworthy, so you should take note in terms of this, in terms of how it is what the prophet has said. First, the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that everybody falls into one of four categories when it comes to anger. This is an emotion that's usually perceived to be negative. However, if it's channeled in the right way, it can be a positive emotion, but most of the time it's seen as a negative emotion. The lady that son that was killed by a drunk driver, she channeled her anger along with other mothers that had similar things happen to their children and formed the organization called MADD, M-A-D-D, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and to try to save others from having that travesty that happened in their life. But generally speaking, you see anger in a negative way because of the actions of the angry person. So the Prophet Muhammad said these are four categories that everybody falls into. So listen carefully to see where you fall. We don't do confessions in al-Islam, but this is helping you to assess yourself, you know, as a parent. If, in fact, that you're going to try to resolve conflict or issues in your family. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, has said that there are those who are quick to anger, but they're quick to cool down. One quality compensates for the other. There are those who are slow to anger, but they're slow to cool down. One quality compensates for the other. And then the prophet said, the best of you are the ones who are slow to anger, but they're quick to cool down. And then finally, the fourth one, the worst of you are those who are quick to anger, but they're slow to cool down. The latter has a real problem, a real issue. And it's not in a position to be able to resolve any issue at all because they generally are in an angry state all the time. The first two, one is quick to quick to anger but quick to cool down. Quick to cool down is a positive. So they have to work on not being so quick to anger. And then those who fall in the category are slow to anger, but once you get them angry, they're slow to cool down. So slow to anger is a positive, and they have to work on working, you understand, not to be so slow to cool down. So the goal is here, if you're following the rationale here, the rationale, the logic, and what the prophet is saying, you want to become the best of those who have anger and will experience anger, and I'm quite sure all of us have experienced that before in our life. The best of you, as the prophet has said, are the ones that are slow to anger, but once they're angry, they're quick to cool down. And one other thing in terms of how he has given to us as the authors, they didn't go specifically in that, but remember, this is parenting skills based on the Quran and the Sunnah. So now what I'm giving you in terms of hadith, Sahih hadith, but also what the prophet taught. He said that if when you are angry and you are standing up, this is the act that he says, and follow the logic here. He said that you should sit down. And if you're angry after you sit down, then he said you should lay down. Now, each one of those movements thus far, it reduces your movement when you're angry, okay? And then he said if you're still angry after you lay down, then as a Muslim, you should get up and make wudu. Now, we know wudu comes before you actually make salat. It's preparing you, but it's not only preparing you physically, but mentally and spiritually. So one day, inshallah, I will take that topic on and go through all the steps of wudu, because each one, each part of the body has a social tie or connection. It's taught by Imam W.D. Muhammad, his tafsir in that regard. But it prepares you for making salat. And then we go back to the Quran again, where Allah says that you are not to approach prayer with a befogged mind. Anger produces a befogged mind. So you can't go to prayer with a befogged mind. So that helps to remove the anger. Just wanted to say that. It's a lot more to that, but hopefully you're taking good notes. And so at this point, I want to say that those of you who just tuned in, you are listening to IWDN Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and Mark Shaheed. And if you have any questions or comments on anything that we said tonight, we do encourage you to press 1, come into the queue, and we'll try to the best of our ability to answer your question or respond to your comment. So with that being said, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, please continue.
Okay, so we are continuing with another questionnaire. This one is a yes and no. And this one pertains to parents. So it's, as a parent, number one, I feel that I had little experience with my first child. This caused me to be too strict or too lenient with him or her. That's number one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. too strict or too lenient? Okay, so.
And the answer is yes or no.
Okay, the answer is yes or no. So I'm going to ask our radio listeners, this is your time to just engage. Don't be scared, as they say. Your first child, was there a tendency on your part to be too strict or too lenient, but it's been your first child and maybe being a little inexperienced as a parent, would that be yes or would that be no? I'm just asking for just some engagement from our radio listening audience. And you can just press 1 and say, yes, I think that I was a little too strict or I was a little too lenient. Or no, I don't think I was too strict. I don't think I was too lenient. Please press 1 at this time. Rashid Salam, we have any takers?
Yes, we have no one who pressed 1, but I
pressed
1.
Nobody. I'm disappointed. Come on, Rashid Salam.
Yes, sir.
Heaven's out here. I know you already pressed 1. I can feel the vibes all
way here. You know, I know I'm number 1. There's no doubt about me being number 1.
Okay. So, your first child, you felt like you were too strict or too lenient.
I was too strict.
Too strict. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let me ask this then, in terms of being strict, how and why do you think that having your first child that you was too strict? Do you see any correlation there in terms of you being a parent and maybe how you were brought up in a large family at that?
Mm-hmm.
Rashid?
Right. Well, you know, that's basic. Being brought up in a large family, I had a lot of strict values, a lot of strict morals that was put on me. And then when I had children, I implemented those same values, those same strictness, and being disciplined, and having all the things you're supposed to do, doing this, and this. And I got a rebellion, you know, from that because, you know, the way I did it, with the new, new kids on the block, you know, they don't think like we do, nor do they have they don't process information like we do. So I tried to incorporate those same things in his life. And quite frankly, to me, it was a little bit too strict instead of being a little bit more balanced. And so the reaction is he fluctuated in his attitude and so forth and so on. So that was my first child, and he's definitely out to lunch.
Okay. All right, good. And see, I want to radio listening audience, it's just the personal experience that you have. None of us had any manuals or and all. So
right.
Dr. Salahuddin and myself, we really like for you to be interactive and just give something like what Brother Rashid Salam has given. So Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, your first child, were you guilty of being too strict or too lenient?
Wow. You know what? You have to really thank Allah for your first child living through you. I mean, it's just the mere fact that your first child actually survived us. Because it was so, you know, you didn't know. You know, it's your very first child. You don't really know what to do. And you do make a lot of mistakes. And I think we made mistakes. I'm sure there were times we were too strict, and there were times we weren't strict enough, and we just made a lot of mistakes, but we, you know, give praise and thanks to Allah that first child is a beautiful child. He's wonderful, and, you know, we just thank Allah for that because it was very difficult, and I really think about what we did and didn't do and all the things we should have done, and we just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. And, you know, I think, Dr. Salahuddin, you know, what you just said, that could be echoed by many parents in that regard, because not having a manual and not having obviously, the knowledge of the Quran, the life example of the Prophet, not having the tafsir, clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad, and just what the religion of Al-Islam actually offers to us. And we've talked about here on the Learning Lab the 3 stages that all children have to go through our baby girls and our baby boys, the imprinting stage, you know. So if when we're looking at being too strict in that stage, we have talked about in the imprinting stage, the role and responsibility of the parent is to play with our children. These formative years, they're in a stage where they are playing, but in playing, they are learning and more. And so we have to be able to teach them where we can reach them in the stage where they are. Most of us didn't know that because many of us as parents, we perhaps heard when we were growing up, I don't play with children. I don't play with children. Well, it was Ali, one of the Sahabas and one of the rightly guided Qadis, that actually provided that type of information. And actually, in terms of social science, it was like, if you will, almost a confirmation that this is how you become an integral part of your child's life. In their world, they're not in the work world. They're in the play world. So you have to come into their world to have influence and impact, making impressions upon them. Because in play, oftentimes games that are played with them, they have rules and they have regulations, and so it can be fun, but it's also an opportunity to teach, even in that stage. And then you know the. The second stage is the modeling stage, but that is the stage in which Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, said that you are to teach the adab. The adab, you know, just a very simplistic definition for the Arabic terminology is the etiquette, you know, good manners, right and wrong. In that regard, this is a very, very crucial stage for our young people, and oftentimes they miss that from their parents only because their parents didn't know, you know, how to conduct themselves in different situations. After playing with them, and one leads to the other in terms of the rules and regulations, the do's and don'ts, and then certain aspects of their life, teaching them the adab. You know, it's like when you enter the house and there's company, you should speak. Some of these things that we actually were taught, you know, it wasn't called like adab, but it was the proper etiquette. And if you had something to say where your parents had company, my mother always would say, if you just came in and just blurted out, wait a minute, don't you see Miss Martha here? Don't you see Mr. John here? And then it brought back to mind that I should say, excuse me, Mama, whatever it was I wanted to ask her. And after she answered my question, I was to dismiss myself. You know, I'm just giving something very simplistic here, but there was an adab. There was an etiquette, do you understand, that had to be adhered to. And so these two stages are very, very important because the first 10 years are considered to be the formative years. Social scientists have studied children, and by the age of 10, 90% of their personality has been shaped and formed. I could say a lot more about that, but remember, if you're not involved and you don't have that type of information, when they get to the last stage, which is a socializing stage, which is 15 to 21, don't be surprised if, in fact, that you are locked out of that stage, because what Ali said is that in the last stage, you should be their friend. And how many times I know when I was coming up, I used to hear adults all the time, I'm not your friend. But that is a misconception, a misperception. You know, because if, in fact, that we've done due diligence in those first two stages, you know, when it's socialized, they will see you as a friend, but they will have the proper respect for you as a parent, and they will come to you. They will keep the relationship of the bond that was established in those first two stages. Much more I can say about that, but I'm going to stop there at Dr. Salahuddin. Let's go to, and we invite you to press 1 if the information you're hearing is resonating with you. We'd like to hear from you. And if you listen by way of the Internet, you do have to call in. That's 714-816-4673. Dr. Salahuddin, what's question number 2 here in this evaluation?
Okay, and question number 2, I expect perfection of myself when I'm with my child, my children, and often feel like a failure when I can't do the perfect thing.
Wow, that's a big one, you know. Let's do this. Dr. Salahuddin, maybe we go to you first here, and we want to invite our radio listening audience. We would love some participation for you. Did you feel like you had to be perfect as a parent? Did you have that mindset that you had to be perfect as a parent? And did you feel like you failed if you weren't perfect or what? Please share with us and do that by pressing 1, coming to the queue. Dr. Salahuddin, how you feel about that? Read that one more time, if you would, please, so this
sure.
can resonate with our listening audience.
I expect perfection of myself. And when I'm with my children, and I often feel like a failure when I can't do the perfect thing. Okay, let me read that again. I expect perfection of myself
mm-hmm.
when I'm with my children.
Mm-hmm.
And I often feel like a failure when I can't do the perfect thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a powerful statement. So we are evaluating ourselves. We're assessing ourselves as a parent. Dr. Salahuddin, how did you see yourself? Did you expect perfection from yourself? Did you feel like you was a failure as a parent or what? How did you see yourself when you think
no.
about that?
No, when my children were younger, no, I don't think I didn't expect perfection for myself. And I did not feel like a failure when things didn't go the way I thought they should have gone. I didn't feel like a failure. I just don't, you know, I never believed that people were perfect, and so I know I don't believe no one is perfect, and then so far I didn't expect myself to be perfect. And I expected when I made mistakes, I forgave myself for the mistakes. And then there were sometimes when I would have to say, well, Mommy, sorry, I'm sorry I did that, or I'm sorry that that's what happened. You know, so yeah, that. No, I didn't feel like I was a failure. Of course, there are things that I felt I could have done better, and I didn't
mm-hmm.
evaluating that, but it's feeling like I was a failure, no.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, excellent. Rashid Salam, how did you look upon yourself? Did you have expectation for perfection and when you was with your children? And maybe because, and, you know, sometimes this thought comes to mind, you know, after we might feel like we've done the best that we could and maybe one of our children go astray or what. So how would you respond to that, Rashid?
I definitely didn't think I was perfect, and I tried to let my children see that we do make mistakes, even as adults. And so I didn't expect them to look at me any other way than that, but I the perfection piece, no. Since Salahuddin said, I knew I wasn't perfect, and I did was no doubt about that one. But I did know one thing: I did have a good upbringing, and I tried to instill in them all the upbringing that I had, and lived and had fun, and we really had fun together. I had a wonderful time with my children. I must say that, even though my first son. Was I was really strict on him, but we did things together. They looked forward to doing things together. We ate together. We did all those particular things, and yeah, we made mistakes. And I knew I made mistakes, and I that's one part of me. I never tried to do it, just be perfect, and never tried to instill it in them that you know, everything is forgiven. If you make a mistake, just be honest with me and communicate with me. I think that's what I did more than anything else. Open the doors to communication, and I have that today with my children. They will call me about anything.
Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Excellent, excellent. Let me say this, you know, because I want to give some type of commentary so, you know, our radio listening audience can have something I think that would be noteworthy to take from that. This was a common practice of many of the parents when I was coming up. I guess Rashida and Dr. Salahuddin, they probably can attest to that. Many of you listening can attest to what I'm about to say. Many parents and even grandparents, when we were coming up, oftentimes the way they would teach us is by their own experiences. Listen very carefully. By their own experiences. I know that my grandmother didn't have much in terms of formal education. She only went to the fifth grade. My mother stopped, I believe, in her junior year in high school. So she didn't get a high school diploma either. So what they did at that time, they would sit down and they would talk to you about their own life experiences and the mistakes that they made. You know, they wanted to show that they were not infallible. And I think this is very, very important because sometimes you can be so hard on your children. Actually, our children can have the conception that you are perfect. You don't make mistakes. But we have to begin to talk to our children, you know, as I use the word mistake, look at this as a gold nugget. The word mistake is two words, it's miss and take, you know. So there's no real mistake but the one when you miss taking something from the experience. In other words, there's a lesson to be learned. And yes, Dr. Salahuddin is correct. Rashid Salam is correct. There are no perfect people when we look at how we define perfect as not making an error, not making a mistake or anything of that, or having shortcomings. But when we're able to acknowledge that, you know, as a human being, acknowledge that, have remorse for that, and repent for that, you know, this was the way of Adam, of the Adam, you understand, that met with a word from his Lord. And so this has to be the way for us as parents. And we can take that as a parent and use it as a teaching tool. What do you mean? Your own experiences. Whereas that you did this and you did that. But you learned something from it. And now what you're sharing is your experience assessed experience. You see, we gave that in the learning lab and previous learning labs in terms of how we teach our children is in the word idea. We teach them from instruction, and our instruction should be coming from the Quran. Instructions give structure to the life. So we want to give structure to the life by giving them instructions from the Quran when they become of age, when you can do that. Demonstration is another way in terms of teaching. You know, as we learn better, then we should do better as we grow and develop, even in terms of our parenting skills. So they should see a demonstration, and this is very important for even our younger children in terms of demonstrations. Another method of teaching in the word idea is experiences, sharing our experiences, but the A in that is assessment. Now we're assessing ourselves as parents, but the assessment of our experiences and then giving it to them in a narrative story form can actually be very valuable and beneficial to our children. Whereas that now they see, oh, mama, you made a mistake. You did that? Daddy, you did that? Yes, but I learned from that, and I'm sharing that with you. So I could say more, but I think I said enough there. And so I'm enjoying this. So we would love to have some participation, and you can do that by pressing 1 if you like to chime in just to share something in terms of your own personal experience. So Dr. Salahuddin, Rashid Salam, we don't have any takers there. We just continue on the learning lab, so hopefully they're taking good notes here. Dr. Saladin, what is the third thing here in terms of evaluation?
Okay, number three, I feel that cleaning the house and preparing the food is more important than playing with my children or taking them to the park.
Okay, Rashid Salam. I think I double both y'all there. Hey, let's please oblige me here. Radio listeners, which one you think is more important? You know, cleaning the house, preparing the food, more important than maybe, say, spending some time with the child, taking them to the park or what? What do you think about that? How would you respond to that? Press one. Rashid Salam, if we don't get any takers here, how do you see that, Rashid?
Oh, man, I was a stickler for cleaning the house and preparing food, but, you know, at the same time, I didn't play no dirty house, man. You know, I just did.
Okay.
I really I would have to say I balanced that, Mark.
Okay.
Because we stayed gone. We stayed in activities. We did a lot. My two children that I raised, and we just did a lot together. But at the same time, that responsibility of cleaning the house and making sure I cooked that food, now that was always there and ready to go. So the balance, I say I had to balance that out, 50-50. I can't really say one over another because having fun with my children was really a blessing, you know, that we just had fun together.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I never deprived them of that opportunity.
Okay.
We do have a hand raise.
Oh, we got a hand raise. Okay. Dr. Saladin, I know you don't mind waiting. So let's see what
We got the Gateway City in the house. We got 636-383. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Abdul Rahim from Westville, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum.
All right.
Alaykum assalam. Brother Sabir. So how would you respond to that as a parent and evaluating yourself?
I don't think that's an either-or situation. As you said, they're both important. If you don't cook, you're going to have a problem on your hand with the kids. If you don't clean the damn dirt. if you don't take them out, they're going to have so much energy, they're going to be causing problems in the house. So you have to kind of balance what you're saying.
Yes. I'm very glad. So as a parent, you're saying that it should be that balance. Each one has a degree of importance to it.
Absolutely.
Alhamdulillah. Well, thank you so much for pressing one as a parent and everything. And I can bear witness. He keeps a very, very clean house just recently at his house. And all I want to just say, our beloved brother just called in. Inshallah, come July 31st this year, just a few days, he will be a married man. Alhamdulillah. So thank you so much, Brother Sabir, for calling in from Wentzville, Missouri. Alhamdulillah. Press 1 as you go out the queue there. And if you want to get in, we got just a few minutes. If you would like to share in terms of how do you see that, as Brother Sabir said, it's not either or. Dr. Saladin, how do you see that? Which one? Was that prioritization or was it more rationalization?
I would say rationalization. I agree with the previous caller that if you don't clean the house, you're going to have a problem. If you don't feed the children, you're going to have a problem. So we had to balance. Definitely balance. Making sure that we're able to do both. Playing with the children and also taking care of the responsibilities.
Alhamdulillah. I just think that the answers that all three of you all gave was just, the congruency that's there. It is, in fact, a balance. You don't want to ever go to extremity. There's always the middle course in the religion of Al-Islam. And, as we learn better, we we should do better. Once again, the Miller Course, in terms of giving, putting the emphasis when needed and necessary in those vital components of our life, one of the things I heard Imam Muhammad say to us, that everything has a degree of importance. Everything has a degree of importance. And so when we understand and recognize that, we are not to neglect those things that have a degree of importance. We see the importance of cleanliness and having a clean, keeping a clean home, a clean environment. This actually can and will affect the psyche and also the emotional nature of our children. Man, it affects, you know, the social environment in which they come up in. And it also can affect them spiritually. You have to be able to even pray in a clean environment. You're not supposed to pray, make salat, in a dirty environment. So now if we are teaching our children, just make the connections here. And so by us doing that as parents, we are teaching and also leading them in terms of what it is that they should do. And that should be an expectation of ourselves, but that should be an expectation of them. But we are teachers and we are leaders. And parents have to see themselves as teachers and leaders. And also in terms of food preparation. You know, we don't want to be like the man that stays in the musala and just pray and dicker all day long, you know, in that regard. Well, who takes care of him? Well, I'm quite sure those that had the balance, they brought him something to eat. They fed him. And Lord knows if he had a family, the family was in trouble. You see, social responsibility. This is a social responsibility. And especially for men, you know, as fathers, to provide the food that the family have to partake of. This is very important. So the food has to be cooked by either the father and the mother, mother and father working together, or however that's done. But that's important too. But also quality time to be spent with the children. So this is the balance. This is the way of al-Islam. So alhamdulillah, it was properly answered. It's neither this or that. It is all of those things, and the balance is kept in terms of the family life, the importance of family life. Wow, I tell you, we're right at the top of the hour here, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean. I've enjoyed myself immensely. Hopefully the radio listening audience got something to take away from this episode on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab in terms of looking at some of these statements as we evaluate ourselves as parents. And just know that most of the time when we evaluate ourselves, just look at the impact of how we were brought up as children and mm-hmm. how we were parented. And oftentimes we'll find ourselves having the same mindset, the same disposition, the same parental behavior as that we experienced when we was children. So, Dr. Slaw-Dean, want to give you the last minute and a half for any parting remarks that you would like to make before we round up the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab for this week. Dr. Slaw-Dean?
Okay, Mark. Okay. We wanted to remind our parents that regardless of what we've experienced with our children, that we cannot change. We and I'm speaking as a grandmother, and mother and a grandmother. Yeah.
Yes.
And so there's some things, you know, that we can't change. It's just something that happened, and we were doing the best that we could, and we always ask Allah for guidance and protection, and to know that we were that Allah is protecting us and guiding us, and even though we made mistakes, these are mistakes that we weren't intentionally making. So we're only judged based on our intentions. So everything is still good. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Excellent parting remarks to our radio listening audience. And what you said about the prophet is really true. He said, all matters are judged by your niyyah. That means your intentions, your motivations, and your desire. And it has to and need to be pure. So when we keep pure intentions, the intention is to please God. And when we do that, then we are actually going to put ourselves in a position to be the best man, best woman, best husband, best father, the best wife, the best mother, the best neighbor, best community member. Whatever it is that you endeavor to do, you will be the best because your pure intention is to please God. And so God gives us guidance in the Quran. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, for your insight and wisdom that you share with us each and every Wednesday here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Be looking forward to you coming back next week. And just before you go, if you would, tell our radio listening audience how they can purchase this book, this outstanding publication, Parenting Skills, based on the Quran and the Sunnah, practical application for various ages.
Yes, this book can be purchased at www.amana-publications.com, or you can purchase the book at on Amazon.
Yes, and the authors are Dr. Muhammad and Ikra Bashir, the co-authors, husband and wife team that have produced this outstanding publication. Please get it so you can follow along with us. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Patricia Slaudine.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mark. Have a great week.
Yes, alhamdulillah. And there you have it, the first hour here on IWDM Radio, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudine. And yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And before we get ready to transition to the MGM Roundtable, I want to let you know the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio as tomorrow, the Sister Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South, that's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. So please tune in. And we want to say a special production as we are on the premarital questionnaire, family planning. And also infused in that family planning, one of the imprints that I had put in family planning is polygyny. So we began that information, conversation, communication last week, and it'll be part two. And it's polygyny based on the four R's by way of revelation. And I'm using the Quran in terms of those four R's. So you need to tune in to see what is those four R's on in terms of polygyny. All right? So tune in tomorrow. So as we transition here, as always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. وَشَهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant, and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shahid. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to our national and international audience. The peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, that becomes an obligation not only on the giver, but the recipient of that greeting of peace of Assalamu Alaikum. And so here on every Wednesday, we have the MGM Roundtable. I'd like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community. That's the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also outside of our community and topics that are pertinent to us as a community, no less tonight, as we have one of our very distinguished, esteemed guests that holds the record for the most appearances on the roundtable, the sister station when I was with them, AM360, the CWSC roundtable. I hosted for over 5 years, and now the MGM roundtable here on IWDM Radio. One of our very scholarly and learned imams in the Association of Imam W.D. Muhammad, who is the Midwest convener, but also the national convener of imams, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali. It's always an honor to have you back at the round table here. Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear brother. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be with you as well.
Alhamdulillah. I said the honor is all mine in terms of having you here on the MGM Roundtable. It's always an honor to have you because of the position that you have and the disposition, I would say, that you have taken in terms of helping to move this community forward. And we always want to keep our community well informed. Especially the naysayers say, we're not doing anything. Nothing is going on. And for those who may think like that, I think we got fewer naysayers in terms of that now. And just by the mere fact that you always are obliging and willing to come on and to inform our community what we're actually doing, what the sectional imam conveners are doing and all, and just keep us informed and educated in regards to our role, responsibility. So I really appreciate you answering my request to be my guest tonight. And, Dr. Bashir Ali, I know most of the people that are listening very familiar with you, been in the community for a very, very long time, going all the way back to the Nation of Islam days. And, you know, alhamdulillah, being able, and I know you count it as a blessing, I know I do, to be able to make that transition, because there was many at that time that you knew and I knew that wasn't able to make that transition to al-Islam proper. I know this sounds like a little different. You might have been prepared for this. But what would you say in regards to that, how much of a blessing that it is to have made that transition, and some of the benefits that you personally have experienced in making that transition from the days of the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Imam Bashir Ali?
Yep. Welcome. Yeah, so first of all, my dear brother, I just want to say thank you for everything you do and for everything that the station does to inform our community as well as the rest of the world on these big, important issues coming from the mind of Imam W.D. Muhammad and coming from the Quran and the Sunnah. And it's so important. And just thank you once again. It's a blessing and an honor to be with you. In answer to your question, you know, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah, yes.
You know, we were in the Nation of Islam at that time. We thought we couldn't go no higher, right? And
yeah, and you know, we was the original, man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth. the father of civilization and God of the universe, I don't know how much higher could you go, bro.
When Imam Muhammad came into office, I was a young student and assistant minister at the time, right?
Yes.
And so I had the pleasure of, you know, being I was in Illinois, so I was and I came in the master of Chicago, but I moved downstate to go to college, but we could go up to Chicago every week, you know, for different, you know, to go, you know, at least once a week we'd go to Chicago, particularly when Imam Muhammad was up there, you know, before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made his transition.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Imam Muhammad came into office, I remember I was sitting there in the Imam's meeting. I was right there in the first or second row. I was right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying how we're going to do, you know, we're going to do much more than we did before, you know. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I couldn't imagine it. We're going to kill more papers and more fish.
Your mind was on. We're going to sell more bean pies and more fish and more Muhammad speaks, right?
He's talking about remaking the world and us, you know, us being even more engaged. You know, I said, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Yeah. So he had a totally different vision, obviously. And my mind coming out of the Nation of Islam, I'm thinking physical stuff, right?
So, yes.
Yeah, but Imam Muhammad was true to his vision and true to his mission.
Yes.
And he was able to see things in a totally different perspective. And he finally was able to articulate that vision in terms of a new creation, right? It's a Quranic term. Call it King Jadid, a new creation. It's talking about we're new people, a new mind, a new creation, Allah is bringing into this earth. And that was so profound. At the time, I couldn't understand it. A lot of people, as you said, didn't make that transition. They weren't able to make that. They were so stuck in that old paradigm.
Yes.
They couldn't visualize a new reality, you know?
I had
family members got stuck into that, you know. But, you know, so that was very personal for me. You know, I had very close family members, you know. And so, that was very profound. But we thank Allah for that whole progression.
Yes.
We thank Allah for the foundation. You know, I was talking to the brothers in our local community the other day because many of them are younger. Yeah, we have several younger brothers now that are stepping up and taking a leadership role in our community, which is great.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, we got a new team of younger people, and none of them participated in the Nation of Islam, right?
Okay.
So I had to school them, you know, about mastered security and, you know, and how we as men coming up in the nation took that role seriously.
Oh, very serious.
And, you know, sometimes people don't understand how great of a foundation Allah gave us, you know. He gave us a wonderful moral foundation, a foundation of appreciating at least the language of Quran, even though the substance wasn't there, but also these moral and human values that are important to reestablish our humanity. So we were blessed with that foundation, and when Imam came into office, he was able to give us this deeper, more profound, substantive concept of Islamic knowledge that was Quranically based, but it was based in the Quran and creation, right? He was a natural and a Quranic thinker. He was a universal thinker. He had his universal consciousness. And he was able to take our mind so much broader and deeper. And alhamdulillah, so I could talk all day. I cut it off right there.
I'm enjoying it, and I'm quite sure our radio listening audience is enjoying it. You know, this new way of thinking, this new verbiage, a new language being introduced. You know, as we say, we came out of one womb into another womb, coming out of the world into the Nation of Islam. And as you were saying, and you're actually, you know, Dr. Bashir Ali, you're actually echoing and speaking for many of us that were in the Nation of Islam and how we saw things. And I think that most all of us could say basically what you said, how you so eloquently articulated it, in terms of seeing everything in a physical way, physicalized, materialized, because that is what it was that we were shown. and it had a profound effect on our psyche, and also how we saw things, how we viewed things, our paradigm, and all. And there were some good things that actually came out of the Nation of Islam. Don't get, as the young people say, don't get it twisted. There was a lot of good things, just what you just articulated in terms of being security-minded and good work ethics, one of the things that was taught there. And also the sacred institution of marriage, you know, you couldn't just be one that come loafing and just being idle. Social responsibility, it wasn't given in that language or way, but it was an implementation in terms of the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he never said that he was teaching us the religion. Now, see, this is something that a lot of people just don't know. He said he was cleaning us up, and the one coming behind him would teach us the religion. And that kind of inroads to one of it is that I invited you to the MGM Roundtable tonight to talk about, you know, just what I just said, as Abu Elijah Muhammad said, is the one coming behind him. And those of us that was in the Nation of Islam, we were aware of the fact that it was going to be his son, Minister Wallace D. Muhammad, at that time, that would be the successor, that would become the leader. And he was the one that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was speaking about that would teach us the religion proper. And those of us that was wearing X's, and most of us were wearing X's, you know, last time you was on, you revealed that that you were blessed to receive your name from Imam W. D. Muhammad. I was aware of the fact that we was told that the one coming behind us, he would be the one to give us our holy names. Oh, you said Shaheed, yeah. You said holy names? Yes, that's what the verbiage was, holy names. But he's the one that taught us how to choose our names. And also Imam Muhammad gave names to many members in the community, including yourself. So if you'd like to make a comment on that, and then we'll go right into what the invitation has been for you to be here with me on the MGM Roundtable.
Yes, yes. Last time we talked about that whole scenario of how the Imam gave me my name,
yes.
And I was so touched by that. I won't go into the whole story again, but all I can say is he looked into me. He looked into me and saw something, and I was amazed at the name he gave me that I have grown into. And
yes.
Once I understood the two names that he gave me, Bashir and Ali, the depth of those two names is profound.
Well, tell us, Brother Imam, it's like Imam Muhammad was talking one time, and I think he was just holding something, was tantalizing, and he said, oh, I can't just leave you hanging. So give us an insight of that name that he gave you, Bashir Ali.
Yeah, he actually talked a number of times in the concept of Bashir, right? And when I heard those teachings and I went back and then read it on top, you know, you just listen, you got to go back and study what he says, you know, and then get multiple references, because many times he talks about things multiple times, and he talks about this concept of Bashir and Bashirun, right? Of a sensitive person, but it's also that name is also in the Quran. It is one of the unique names of the prophet. It bringers of good news, right? It means
yes.
In one sense, it means the human being. The other sense, it means a sensitive man. Other means spiritual man. And then it means a prophet who's bringing, you know, the higher knowledge. And
yes.
So he defined Bashirun as really a person of higher consciousness that can evolve into a, you know, that Allah blesses to come into a prophethood, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the word Bashir can mean a person who preaches a religion, or it can mean, in the highest sense, a prophet, you know? And so when he gave me Bashir Ali, you know, Ali is the highest, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So
yes,
I said,
sir.
That that's a lot to go into.
You didn't have no frown on your face at that time, did you?
No,
I'll take it.
You know, back then you were stunned. You know, we were all kind of in our 20s, and we were,
yes.
Muhammad came in the office. You know, we were just amazed to be in his presence, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I was so humbled and so touched. And like I said, at the time, I didn't know what it meant. At that. I mean, that's a nice one, you know. but then when he went behind and taught on it, over the years, and he taught on that name. I said, oh my God,
when he gave you that name, I wonder, can I live up to this name? You know, I'm not only given the name, but as Imam Muhammad would often do, and expressing how important, you know, that definition, you know, in definition is direction, and it gives you the direction in terms of how you were to actually live up to this name. This is a big name, and you might not, at that time, being very young, may had some skepticism in yourself. Can I really live up to this name?
And so, you know, first of all, we know in our heart and our soul and our spirit, Imam Muhammad was blessed with insight and inspiration, without a doubt. And he was a godly man. Allah blessed his, Allah gave him inspiration. And so
that's right.
We draw on that. Oh my gosh, you know, this is an inspired man, and he's seeing something in me that I don't see in myself. You know, but then it, you know, as your life plays out and you reflect back upon it, oh my God, this man saw something in me, and Allahu Akbar, that just underscored for me how insightful and how blessed he was.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Well, if those who just tune in, you are listening to IWDM Radio. And you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I have at the roundtable one of my very scholarly learned imams, the national convener of imams, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, has joined us. And we're going to be talking to him tonight in terms of him giving us an update in terms of the progress that's being made that maybe some of us is just not aware of tonight. And so, Dr. Bashir Ali, if you would oblige us and begin to talk about some of the things that you all are always meeting and you're always thinking and you're always planning and you're implementing and you're bringing some things into manifestation, realization that perhaps many of our radio listening audience are not aware of. So at this time, I'm just going to turn it over to you and you can give us an overview of what the sectional conveners and yourself are actually doing to help to move this community forward under the direction and the leadership that Imam Muhammad has provided for all of us. Dr. Bashir Ali?
Yes, sir, my dear brother. I just wanted to, we talk about these things before, but I just want to kind of reiterate them and project them into this year and into the future years as well.
Well, I'm
going to
say like
you,
ma'am, Clive Rockman, help yourself.
Yes, sir, my brother. And he was one of a kind. For those of us in the Midwest knew him so well, he was one of a kind. So, inshallah, what we'll do is just remind everyone, everything we say is on our website because we believe in transparency and reporting out to our community. So IWDMcommunity.com, and we try always to report out and to make ourselves accountable to our community and as well as to inform our community of all the great things that are going on. So we're going to review several things tonight of what we did over the last year and what we're doing this year and what we hope to project going forward as well. What we accomplished over the last year were three major things, and we'll review them briefly, and then we'll see how we build on them this year going forward. Last year, we unveiled three new things that we had been working on. One, are we call conveners of Imams Foundation. We created a charitable foundation to help with our educational work in our community, as well as to assist masjids and needy imams. You know, in our community, we have situations in which from time to time people have needs who've been great contributors to our community. If you think about Imam Kazim Ahmed, it was one of them. He had, at the end of his life, as you know.
Yes.
He had cancer, and we had to help his family, you know, financially, and help him and his family because of the great, tremendous contribution he had made. And we do that from time to time. The same thing with Imam Vernon Fareed. You know, we have national figures, imams, who dedicate their entire lives to this community. And sometimes at the end of their life, they fall into financial straits because they did do that work. And there's not a lot of money in what we do, you know, for our community.
Right.
And so even though, you know, while we're living in our healthy days and healthy years, we can sustain ourselves. But sometimes if we lose our health, we may fall into hard times, and our family may fall into hard times. So we're very conscious of that. We also, you know, made a contribution to the Muslim Journal that's always in need of our community support. So we created a foundation that will help us make those charitable contributions, as well as support some of these big educational initiatives that we're going to be talking about in the next few minutes. The second big endeavor that we undertook last year was to unveil a new feature for our community. We call it Community Development and Leadership Webinar.
Okay.
And so last year, as well as this year, we're going to be adding to it. I'll talk about what we did last year, and this year's going to be bigger and better. So last year we had a two-day webinar in which we unveiled our Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And then the second day we used to really showcase our national organizations that are concentrating on the Fulbright Road, similar to what we've done in the Midwest. The Midwest,
yes.
In the Midwest, we create a model that prioritizes the Imam Muhammad's emphasis on the four birds. And
yes.
So we've taken that nationally because the Midwest was, you know, alhamdulillah, was a prototype. So we've taken that concept nationally now, and we've created a webinar, an annual webinar that we're gonna offer again this year we're gonna expand the concept this year, in which we looked at the concept of leadership. How do we define it in our community? How do we inform our community as to what our structure is?
Yes.
Our national leadership structure. Then we looked at the elements of how do we develop our community life, from education, economics, government, and culture, as well as health last year. So since the pandemic was a big thing, we want to really kind of emphasize health as well. So we're working on that again this year. Inshallah, we'll be unveiling the formal structure in the next few weeks. And as soon as we get that, I'll send you the flyer, and we'll be able to come back and give you the details of it. But we're going to actually build upon it this year to even make it bigger and better. You're really going to be impressed.
Ali, you know, the time of the year the radio listening audience can expect for that webinar to take place as it was the same time last year?
Well, last year was exceptional because we wanted to unveil our leadership program, but this year is going to go back to the regular time of mid-October. So it's going to be either second or third Saturday in October. The third or fourth Saturday, because I think October is five Saturdays, I believe. So it's going to be sometime in the mid-October range, and we're going to be finalizing that over the next week or so. And we're lining up all of our presenters as we speak. But it's going to be so the mid to later October, and we're going to showcase these national groups. And we like to emphasize Shura-based initiatives, right?
Yes.
Imam Muhammad really, really pushed us to work together, right? Work together to solve problems, to be a resource for the community, to help both individuals as well as communities with these problems and these challenges. And so we want to showcase them. We want to, you know, we want them to be accountable to the community as well. And they know that. So every year when they do come on, they give a report, and then they open themselves up for questions. So the good thing about that is it gives them a platform, but it also gives the community an ability to question them or to get additional insights on how they can be involved in some of these great initiatives on behalf of our community.
And Brother Imam, I think it's important to say to our radio listening audience, these are not all imams. You know, as Imam Muhammad has said, that leadership is in the resourceful people in the community, and by all means, you know that. And so just as you said, the Midwest Leadership Conference was a prototype in terms of a model for what it is that you're doing now. That means that there are some imams, but there are men that are not imams, and there are women that have these positions and will be a part of it. I'm quite sure the representation is diversified. Brother Imam.
The imams have a very clear and distinctive leadership role in our community, but it doesn't end. Leadership doesn't end with imams, right?
Yes, yes.
They're a critical element of leadership, but we have leadership in education. We have leadership in economics. We have all kind of public policy issues that we need to discuss and make sure that we're contributing in. You know, I won't go into depth on every one of them. But in every one of those areas that we talked about, education, economics, public policy, political engagement, health, culture, those are phenomenal areas for development. And that means most of our leaders may not be imams, right?
Well, that's right. So, and don't forget about the marriage and family life, too. This was a vital component in the Midwest Leadership Conference in which you hit it.
We do have a hand raised, Mark.
So that's a cultural element, but we broke that out because it was so important, right? We broke marriage and family life out separately, even though it is a cultural piece.
Right.
It is so important in our community. We put extra emphasis on it. So once again, we will be doing the same thing, right? So that's the point. We have so many big areas to develop our community life on. You know, culture and marriage and family life are probably two of the biggest ones that we need to focus on in addition to seriously. Because, you know, if you look at our larger culture and our larger situation in our community, it's pathetic almost. So the Muslims can be a phenomenal role model.
Yes.
Where Allah wants us to go, and, you know, sometimes people need to see real-life models. You know, theory is one thing, but they need to see, you know, Islam in practice, and it first starts with some good, you know, people of faith and integrity.
Yes.
You know, not only people of faith, but integrity that turns that integrity and faith into action. And become real-life role models. And that starts with good family people as well as good community people.
That's right. Dr. Bashir Ali, I want to interrupt you, but we do have a caller with their hands up, and so I want you to hold that thought because I want you to finish presenting what you want to present to our radio listening audience. So, Rashid Salam, who do we have that want to ask a question, maybe something that Dr. Bashir Ali have said they may want to ask a question or make a comment. Let's go to the caller, if you would. Rashid?
Mark, you have 972-467. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Thank you. Ismail Fahmy, Dallas, Texas. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Brother Ismail. Welcome to the MGM Roundtable. You have a question or comment for our guest, Dr. Bashir Ali?
Yes, I'm enjoying the presentation. I have a couple of quick questions. The first question is establishing some type of almost like an endowment fund for some of our imams. And what came to my mind is insurance, life insurance, and paying those life insurance policies. But I know that's a controversial you know, they're kind of controversial in the Muslim community as far as life insurance. And I was wondering if the Imam ever addressed life insurance and what was his thoughts on it. And the second question is, will I be able to see this first webinar on your internet page?
Good question. Go ahead, Brother Imam.
The webinar is not on the page, but the report of it is. So we do have a written report called our annual report, and you can go to the annual report, and it outlines the webinar, what we accomplished there. On the first issue that you talked about, that's a very profound issue. I would hope and pray that all of us have some type of insurance to protect ourselves and protect our families. I really do. Unfortunately, everybody, for whatever reason, doesn't do that. And when a situation arises in our community in which people have made a very significant contribution to the development of our community life over many years, we want to have the ability to assist them or their families in some way. So, yes, we definitely encourage people to take out insurance because it lessens the burden on each other, on our communities and families. We all know people in our community, not just our physical, our Islamic community, but in our family and in our community. Every week does somebody pass away without insurance. You know, you almost know that, right? They take it up, passing the hat and collecting money. And you keep asking yourself, how come the person didn't have any insurance, you know? Or whatever, but you know, who knows what people's personal circumstances are. So we encourage everyone, if you possibly can, to undertake that critical step of trying to take out insurance when you can, because some people get to the point when they can't. Yeah, but when you're able, when you're younger, when you're able, or when you have the ability to do it, take that out and save your community and save the family that burden. But if you don't, there's always people that have your back if you've made a contribution to our community.
Well, you know, Dr. Bashir, and I hope that Brother Ishmael is still on. It seemed like I kind of heard in his question, or and maybe if I'm incorrect, Ishmael, you can correct me. I'm thinking that the implication is for those long-serving imams in that community, as we talked about, Imam Kazem Ahmed, Imam Vernon Fareed, that passed away, and others. You know, we have Sheikh Imam, a.k.a. Hassan, there in California. Boy, he's been a leader in the community for many, 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 many years and there's others. What do you think about, I know we've had the conversation here in St. Louis, Al-Mu'minun, just what you just said, because where is it you say this, for some people and families, it's a struggle to decide today as to what it is that they prioritize. And even though you disseminate that type of information in terms of how important it is not to to leave a burden on your family or the community. In fact, if you're a Muslim, that it can become a burden. And we've had to pay the whole of the expense for those who didn't have the insurance. And we have looked at in terms of having just paying on a policy, an open policy. And they have so many things that they can offer today, whereas that you can be paying so much monthly where it wouldn't be burdensome if, in fact, that you had community members. But I'm thinking what I'm hearing Ishmael say is that should we see that as an obligation or responsibility to take care of those persons who have dedicated their life to this community and oftentimes make big sacrifice and may not even have that coverage and all, that the community should have the insight, the sensitivity and all to make sure that if they had a long-serving term imam in office, to make sure that he has that type of coverage. You know, I don't see anything wrong with it myself, Brother Matt. And if you're still there, and that's what you were kind of insinuating there, please, you know, speak up.
Yes, that was you got to correct, Brother Mark, and saying with the if that part of something that the conveners are thinking about, maybe covering that to somewhat a portion of it, and that way, like Brother Mark said, it takes some of the burden off of the families, and you know, it covers a lot of things in the future.
Well,
that is my question. Thank you.
That's the beauty of these type of forms. You know, that hasn't come on our radar, but now that you bring it up, we probably need to talk about it. What we, you know, Brother Mark raised a point, and I want to elaborate on that a little bit. But I also want to speak to Imam Ishmael's point as well, because it's an outstanding concept. You know, rarely do we contribute in any significant way to assist our imams, rarely. It happens sometimes and it happens some places. In some cases, either we give imams stipends or we give them a little gas money here and there. Every now and then, a community will fully support the imam. That's rare, though. It's rare. Many of our imams just serve out of duty, right, out of a sense of duty to Allah and to this community. And so one of the things that we've tried to emphasize in a number of different areas, and we're going to talk about it as we talk about our Islamic leadership training and development program in a minute, it is a new way of thinking for our community, that we need to make community investments.
Yes.
And just like we pay bills at the masjid for our physical infrastructure, rarely do we invest in the human infrastructure, right? And in the business world, there's a thing, and this was my profession for 30 years. I was a regional workforce development director. And so I worked with corporations, I worked with the government, and was able to work at both at the state, regional, and national level. But one of the things that business takes very seriously is what they call human capital. It's really the driving force of your community, right? Is the people.
Yes.
And really, those people that are putting their time and their effort and their energy to moving community life forward. We will pay bills to other people, but we won't invest in our people.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that we need to, the paradigms we need to discuss, to prioritize, and to evolve our thinking is to really... As you said, as Brother Ishmael has just pointed out, how do we begin to make investments in, first of all, those people who have invested in us, right? They've invested their entire lives into our community and into leadership. Are we doing anything for them? Do we have an insurance policy for them, right? To make a – just so – even if they have one for their family, do we have something that will help assist their family if they pass away, you know? What investments have we made to assist them in any way beyond their basic needs, or have we done that? Right. These are questions we have to begin to ask ourselves at the collective level, because sometimes we don't ask ourselves that. But the points you raise are very valid. In terms of the point Brother Ishmael raised, yes, I think that's something that we can entertain in the future. Is creating maybe working with some of our business community, because we have, you know, we have Muslim business groups, and many of them have insurance dimensions. So creating a national insurance policy for Islamic leaders that communities can assist or pay into, right? So that is a phenomenal idea, and I really like the concept, because, yeah, we do things after the fact. We do things when people are in trouble, but are we proactive and have we thought through that process?
There
as well?
You go.
So I love that idea, and I think, inshallah, we'll put that on our agenda to discuss.
Alhamdulillah. So that's good. Thank you so much, Brother Ishmael. wonderful, wonderful question and also commentary in regards to that. So, and one thing about Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, I've always known you to be a good listener and to be very receptive of great ideas from the community. And I think that's earmark of a good leader. You know, as a word tologist, that L in leader means listen, to be able to listen to others, to listen to others. So thank you so much, Brother Ishmael. Yes, sir. So if you have any questions, you can press 1. But until we get some more questions, Dr. Bashir Ali, hopefully you didn't lose your train of thought. So please continue.
You forgot my
question. No, thank you, my dear brother. Yes, we were talking about our community development and leadership webinar last year. We're going to be doing it again this year. It's going to be much bigger and better. We will be announcing it probably in the next month or so. We're finalizing the plans for it right now, but keep your eyes open for the information that's going to come out in the journals, come out in terms of flyers. It will be this fall. Please, we want both Master to sponsor as well as individuals, and we're going to have special packages. And this year is going to be a special surprise features we're going to build into it. Good news from all across the community and all across the country. And we'll talk about that in greater detail next time we come on. So it's going to really you're going to really be happy over some of the directions that we're building in and some of the new features that we're building into our community webinar. The third big concept we wanted to cover tonight, and we're very proud of this one. We announced it last year in our community webinar. This year we're going to be building on it. We launched our National Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program. Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program. It's a program for Muslim leaders, and we're really targeting that next generation of younger men and women. And just like you said, we know leadership is not just imams. So we have imams in the class. We have women in the class. All of them are leaders. Every one of them are leaders, and they're leaders in different capacities. And they are doing a phenomenal job. We have a very rigorous curriculum. If you go to, we have a special website for that program. I'll give it to you now, so please go out and check it out. It's ILTDP.com. ILTDP.com. Go and check it out, and you will be amazed at the depth of the program. Of the comprehensive nature of it. We have three major components called community leadership, the Islamic sciences, and Imam W.D. Muhammad knowledge body. And believe me, it's equivalent to a master's degree program, and we got that from our students, because many of our students have college degrees or master's degrees, and they all agree that it's equivalent to a master's degree. So they are very impressed. They are, you know, we're trying not to overwhelm them because we have so much to share with them. It's a 2-year program, but this gets us back to the concept we were talking about. Many of our communities don't have a great bench, right? A leadership bench, right?
True that.
If we look around, many of the communities, when we get into the second and third generation of people, it gets to start standing out.
That's right.
And so we create a program to begin to make sure we have leaders that understand our historic 90-year-plus progression, right? Are schooled in these fundamental concept of Imam Muhammad's thinking and logic and vision, understanding these connections of the Quran and the creation, and how to become universal thinkers, and also how to become more skilled in what we call the Islamic sciences, more skilled in Imam Muhammad's vision, and more skilled in understanding how to put all these concepts together to lead and guide and develop community life.
Yes.
So we have a very rigorous 2-year program. I can't tell you all about it, but go to the website. You will be amazed and surprised. But the bottom line is this. It's what we want you to leave your radio audience with. Please try to identify someone in your community that can benefit from this program, that your community can invest. It's $1,000 per year, because it's an educational program.
Yes.
And believe me, that money is nothing compared to what you pay in college. So it's a nominal amount just to let people know that this is serious. And And so in doing so, some students paid right off the bat. Others, they have their community support them, give through scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
We want our community to make investments in their young people.
Yes.
So do two things. Try to identify a young person in your community that can benefit from a two-year leadership development program. And then two, help them with a community scholarship. So if you have people in the program in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, you know, they're all over the board. They got a whole range. We've got this is our first year program. We're about halfway through the year, and I'm one of the instructors. I teach the community leadership component, and you will be amazed at how profound these young people are.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, we hit them with some heavy stuff, and they will take once you get them on your program, they'll tell you.
Well, that's what I want to say to the radio listening audience. I was just patiently, listening to your presentation, but I want to say to our radio listening audience that we looked. I've talked to Dr. Bashir Ali, and we want to have some of those students right here on the MGM roundtable. So that you can hear them and you can get it straight from them, what it is that they actually have learned in this institute for the time that they've been in. And he's told me some phenomenal results that have come. And I do, endorse this in terms of, investing in our future, you may not want to take the course, and we have so much just that is being offered and all, but to help to sponsor someone, if you got 10 persons that gave $100, that's $1,000. And so that could put some young person in this class for a whole year. If I'm not mistaken, it begins at the beginning of the year and runs all the way to the end of the year. You said 10 persons, you get 20 persons that gave $50. Think about that. A community that have 20 persons that would donate $50 to invest in their future, that would be $1,000, and that would be enough for them to complete the first year. But you want to look for those serious ones, as Imam Muhammad say, very, very serious and very ambitious and want to take on the leadership as we are expecting them to. We have to; they have to be prepared for this. This is very important. So I'm just making a appeal on here.
Yeah.
So, Rashid, I think you're trying to get in. Do we have somebody with their hands up and want to ask a question?
Yeah, we have two hands raised, Mark. So.
Okay, I'm sorry. So, Dr. Bashir, let's break and go to our callers. We don't want to keep them waiting here.
Yeah.
They want to ask you a question. Let's go, Rashid. Who we have first?
Huh? Okay, we have 616-272. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Norman Muhammad.
Brother Norman, that's a surprise to hear your voice here on IWDM. You got a question or comment for distinguished guest, Dr. Bashir?
Yeah, just a comment. It was I'm just finding out this phone number for you too, Imam Mark, so I'll be getting in touch with you. But I was listening, and I hear that Imam Bashir was on, and listening at that spirit, it's been so long since I heard from him. I just want to call in and give him the greetings and let him know you're praying for him, and may Allah bless him continues.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, my dear brother. It's always a pleasure to hear from my brother Norman. Originally from the Midwest, he's all over the place, but he's one of our giants. Yes, alhamdulillah.
That's right. he's a Dawah extraordinaire.
I'm the leader.
But listening at you and the brother talking about the making sure we have insurance, that's a big must, because there's so many in our community that don't have it, and also listening in talking about the and with that spirit, and we thank Allah for you and Imam Mark, and I'll be getting in touch with you, man. Allah bless you. Salaam
okay.
alaikum.
Thank you, I did, brother.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Norman, actually chiming in. What a surprise, Dr. Bashir Ali, to hear from our brother. That's another brother that's a warrior, a soldier in this community for many, many years.
Yes. Yeah, I know. it's an honor and pleasure, you know. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for that spirit and for the Norman and his many, many years of dedication to our community development.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go, Rashid. Salam, please, right. Brother Norman, press 1 to go out the queue so we can keep the studio boy clear. Rashid, who we have up next?
You have me up next, but I'm gonna give the phone to someone else. We had another hand just raised, but I think we have Brother Ishmael back at 972-467. Your mic is open.
Very good.
Yes, Salaam alaikum. Thank you for having me back real quick, but I really appreciate the program for our future leaders that you have, because I just want to let people know, me being in the position of leadership here in the city I'm in, mm-hmm. I get about half a dozen emails of other communities wanting us to point out our best and brightest so that they can give them a scholarship to their program.
Ooh.
And alhamdulillah, they want to give us a scholarship. They want to give them a scholarship, but we know the sensitivities are not the same.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate what you're doing, especially the part where setting up some type of scholarship for our future leaders. So I just want to ask that, because it's a real thing out here. That,
yes,
that
exactly.
They want our best
and
brightest.
And, what we have, Brother Ishmael, you know, I don't have to repeat it because everybody on this line knows it. But, you know, Imam Muhammad was truly a mujaddi.
Oh, yes.
And he has one of the greatest minds of the modern era. And for that knowledge to not be disseminated, categorized, and create learning programs from is almost a shame. So this is how we're giving him a good chance. You will be go to the website and just check the program out, but then talk to when you get a chance to talk to the students, your mind will be blown, because they will tell you themselves they have grown tremendously in the last 6 months, but then they're just a quarter of the way through the 2-year program. But
yes,
we have covered some profound topics of Islamic scholarship from
mm-hmm.
the mind of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And once you hear them out of their own mouths, you will be amazed. So we thank Allah for that. And it's a lot of hard work, and we put a team of people together across the country to be teachers and instructors. But we thank Allah for what we're doing for that team. But we also thank Allah for those communities that are supporting their leaders. So Brother Ishmael, pass the word for us. Identify some people for us as well. Somebody in your own local community that you want I have my assistant in the program. My personal assistant in the program. And he's one of my top students.
I'm just saying praise be to Allah.
Yeah.
I tell you, Imam Bashir Ali, this is something that we want to make an appeal to all the listening. You're part of this community, your local masajids, your Islamic centers. Let's make sure we're going to sponsor, you know, somebody from our community. I'm going to talk to the masjidists of Shura here in St. Louis. We got to do this. Got to do this. You know, it's no ands, ifs, and buts about it. We have to give Imam Muhammad the life that he asked and requested of us. And we're getting older. We have to invest in our young people. This is what Imam Muhammad did before he transitioned. So if we're going to follow the leader, this last publication by Imam Ronald B. Shaheed and personal private talks that he had with Imam Muhammad, if we're going to follow the leader, we need to follow the leader all the way in terms of putting a great emphasis on education. So, you know, we're going to give Rashid an opportunity, but I want you to finish up in terms of your presentations. And, if you just can mention some of the courses, I mean, you don't have to go into them, but just some of the courses just as an appetizer for our radio listeners, I would greatly appreciate that, Dr. Ali.
Okay, I'll give you the one I teach, but then there's just two others. I'll just highlight. It's a 2-year program, and so I teach the community leadership component. The first year is called theory and conceptual development, and the second year is skill development and application. I'll give you an appetizer. The first year we have 4 quarters. The first quarter we deal with the who, what, where, why, and how of community leadership. Spanning from the evolution of our 90-year history, looking at the concept of the new creation, looking at who we are, where we're going, what our purpose is, what our tools are as leaders, how we implement those tools. The second quarter, we dealt with the whole concept of the mother book and the idea of Muhammad called the cosmic man, or our interaction with the creation, and how to become natural and universal thinkers. Our third quarter, we'll be dealing with the human development and human nature, human development, human history, and human nature from the Islamic perspective with the thinking of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Our fourth quarter, we'll be dealing with the whole progression of human history up until this idea of starting with Africa, starting with our African experience, the Islamic empires of Africa, moving into the African-American Islamic experience, and ending up with this idea of the new creation. So that's just the first year. We're not dealing with no lackey bats.
I just wanted you to give an appetizer just to wet the whistle up, if you would, in terms of those what am I going to be getting here? But I'm going to give you opportunity at the end to get the information, the website that you can go to, and you can really just take your time. And one thing I know about IWDM, that it's always very, very, very informative, and you'll learn so much that's there, so we're going to give you the opportunity. Rashid Salam, do we have any other callers in the queue that raised their hand and want to ask a question to our special guest?
Well, other than myself,
go ahead.
You know, when you start talking about economics, my eyebrows raise because I'm a former bank manager and corporate finance person, and also insurance person and a healthcare person, all that. So Brother Man, when you get an opportunity, I'm not going to take up too much time on the radio, but I do bring something to the table that could be beneficial when it comes to the economic empowerment, financial education, and so forth and so on. I would love to address that issue pertaining to us having insurances on our brothers who get elderly in our community. Janaza Fund or Islamic Trust could be established real easy that we can get great donations to help our brothers and sisters when they have those needs. So I'd rather do that with you online, offline. And I just wanted to let you know that please don't forget your brother. I got a little something to bring to the table, okay?
we were talking the next 48 hours, my dear brother.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Bashir Ali, let me say
this. I'm not saying this in regards to Rashid Salam because he's president and he's engineering my shows, but Imam asked me, he didn't ask me. I just kind of pretty much made myself the facilitator of the Talims, and I gave Rashid Salam about 6 to 7, 8 weeks to make presentations, outstanding presentations on information before janazah. It was titled Before the Janazah, and outstanding information that is invaluable to us as a community in terms of even preparing ourselves for that. Not only the mental aspect of it, the emotional aspect of it, covered every component that you can think of, including in terms of insurance. And he's a valuable resource in our community, a well-kept secret, but alhamdulillah, if the imams don't know, as Imam Muhammad has said to us, all the imams should summons their community, looking for the resourceful people in the community and ask for their help and assistance. And Imam Muhammad also said to us that if they don't, then you should go to them and make it known what it is that Allah has blessed you with and you're willing to offer to the community. So I'm just only just attesting to how resourceful this brother is and how much of a benefit he's been to our community here in St. Louis at Al Mu'minun Islamic Center. So, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, yes. Believe me, we're going to be talking.
I know you will. Now, you know, one thing about your man, about Sher Lee, once he know, he got a place for you, bro.
Hey, I'm ready.
We put everybody, but Mark, no, we put everybody to work. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We put everybody to work. So even if you, if it looked like you might want to work, he gonna find some work for you. And it's a lot of work in this community. You know, I'm enjoying my brother, my friend, Dr. Bashir Ali, having him on, but he's very, very serious about this deen, this religion, this way of life. And he really has embodied and embellished, you know, all what it is the Imam Muhammad has said, you know, to the imams and leaders in our community, what it is that we have to do. And this is how we make sure that we give the imam a good life, by doing the work, by actually doing the work. And he's doing that. And that's why, you know, he's on this MGM roundtable. And I'm continuously, as long as I, you know, have life myself to do this. You know, we are to provide the opportunity for those to spin out of what it is Allah has blessed them with, because this is our future. This is very, very serious. This is no plaything. This is very, very serious. You know, we won't be here forever and a day. So when we look to our right, we look to our left, we look behind us, well, who's going to be there? And what have we prepared to do to make sure, you understand, that we continue to move forward, even though we don't have a physical presence? And we're going to be questioned on what it is that we could have done and should have done, but we didn't do it. You know, at some point in time, we won't be able to do what it is that we're able to do now. So we need to be looking forward, and we need to have that progressive mind. And leadership is vitally important in this community, and we need to be looking for all the resourceful people. And Allah has given resources to us in abundance, and really invest in our youth, our young adults. We need to invest in them. I know that every community, everybody that's listening, is a part of some a masjid or some Islamic center. And all you have to do is say, I'm willing to invest in our young people and make sure that they are enrolled. Establish a scholarship. Talk to the believers. When there's a cash slip, there's always a blank spot. I'm giving so much money for scholarship, you know, to promising young people in this community locally. And so that should be filled up. You know, I'm going to continuously talk about this, and I'm going to be looking forward. Dr. Bashir Ali, to some of those students coming on, so that our listenership can hear them. It's going to make them very, very proud of them, you know, to hear what it is that they're actually learning. And they're probably elated to get this information, and they want to put it into application. You know, they want to be able to give back to this community also. So, Dr. Bashir, I'm going to give you opportunity of whatever else that you would like to share with our radio listeners before we wind down and everything. What would you like to leave us with? And most certainly, I want you to disseminate that information once again to the website and everything, so that our regular listening audience can go to this website and get all the information that we just don't have time on this platform to give it in detail, but they can take their time, sit back, and read and look, and I think they're going to be amazed at what it is that they see that you all are accomplishing for the good of this community. Dr. Bashir Ali?
Yes, sir, my dear brother. Thank you once again for everything you do. Thank Brother Rashid as well as your team, your whole team there. Just want to just recap by saying that everything we talked about you could see on our website, IWDMcommunity.com, IW, like Imam W.D. Muhammad, IWDMcommunity.com. Go there. There's an annual report right there in front that kind of outlines everything we just said because we feel obligated to be transparent and report to our community. That's very important. The second thing is there's things that can be done that we all have to do together as a community. Imam Muhammad said, make him a good feature. Well, we're the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, so we're going to make a good future collectively as well. And so one of the things that we want people to think about is how can we develop our community life and develop our community leadership?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be giving opportunities with our webinars. We want communities to participate in a webinar that will be announcing that information shortly. Please go to, as Brother Mark has asked you, go to the IWDM community website or the IOTDP website, either one,
mm-hmm.
that goes into the program and learn more about the program and how you can assist to identify someone in your local community and to assist their development as well. And last but not least, we thank
you. Brother Mark, before you go to that, please tell them when you'll be open for new students and everything, when it begins and when it ends, if you mind giving that information too.
We open enrollment in the fall. It'll probably be right after our webinar.
Okay.
So our webinar will be that mid to the second or third week or fourth week of October.
Mm-hmm.
We will open enrollment right after the webinar, because we use the webinar as the information to give people information on the program as well. So then we open it up for about 2 months. We close enrollment at the end of the year, and then we start programs usually about mid-January, and they last for about a year. So just keep that in mind. In the meantime, begin to think. Go to the website. Look at the program. Identify people in that you know of in your family or your community that can benefit from the program and be leaders for our community. I'll say this as we close out. We're not just training master leaders. We're training community leaders.
Yes.
And from the mind of Imam Muhammad, it makes you a world leader.
Yes.
Imam Muhammad said, we make the world. And his insights were so powerful, he operated on the world stage. So we're preparing people to operate on the global arena, global stage. They're starting with our community, but we're talking about people with universal mind and universal skills.
Yes.
So, inshallah, we're going to have a great future. Imam Muhammad asked us for it, and we're going to deliver it, inshallah. And all of us, we're going to be working together to do as best as we can. As you said, you know, all of us have been given a mission, right?
That's right. Yes,
and our mission is to lay the foundation for the promised land. And inshallah, we may not personally get there, but we're going to make sure that somebody gets to see it.
Well, you know, alhamdulillah, Brother Imam, you really laid it out tonight, you know, in regards to what the mission is. And I think that when we can see the vision, then the mission should be very clear to us, as Imam Muhammad had a vision for this community, and he stayed true to the course. And now that he no longer has a physical presence, we have to continue on. We can't stop now. And once you see that vision, it should be invigorating to you to work until Allah says our time is up. And then we want to make sure that we have truly invested in our youth. We invested in our young people, so that when we do leave, we know that they have the correct vision. They have the vision of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And I'm going to say this. I don't hear a lot of imams say it, but I'm going to say it. Dr. Bashir Ali, I let him call me a radio imam. But the vision that Imam W.D. Muhammad had, it was the vision that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you understand, that he got, and Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, Prophet Ibrahim, he became the realization of the vision, you understand, that for all of humanity, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the manifestation of that. Because in the Asra Miraj, it was Prophet Ibrahim that was on the seventh level. But it was Prophet Muhammad that led all of them, and all of these stages, you understand, they represent, you understand, stages of development not only for the human soul but for the human intellect. Then it didn't stay there. Prophet Muhammad, he was the one that came down and he established that. So I'm saying to the radio listening audience, the Imam Muhammad, he has the same vision, the same mission that Prophet Muhammad was on. And we are the inheritors. That's why Imam Muhammad says, say to them that you are Imam Warth Uddin Muhammad. And we look at Warth Uddin in terms of being the inheritor of the religion of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we're going to provide that future that Imam Muhammad wanted all of us to do, we got to get busy and get work.
That's it.
You know,
we have
to work, and work is worship. If we're worshiping Allah, we have to be working. You know, you won't get to the Jannah, the paradise, just talking your way through it. You have to get busy. You have to work. And you have to help others, put others to work. And we have to invest in our young people. I just had to say that. Brother, you just inspired me. I'm on fire right here.
Long life,
yeah. Wow.
I'm bearing witness to you, sir.
I'm gonna lie. So we want you. We want to see. We want to see more of our young people. And let me say this here: if you got some of your imams that you feel as though that they need to be in this class, and I would dare say that many of them need to be there, invest in your resident imam. You know, to be there, and especially now, many of the communities, in the Association Imam W.D. Muhammad have young imams. Invest in them. Send them there. And as Imam Dr. Bashir Ali say, it runs the gamut from very young to older people that's already first year that's in this program. So let's make an investment, primarily in our young people, our young adults. But if you're an older person, middle age or old, you know, like me, you know, don't invest in me. But invest in some of the people that you know that will also, when they get this information, they're going to bring it back to their community, and they're going to work for the progress of this community as Imam Muhammad wants all of us to do. And to each is a goal that Allah has turned all of us. Find out what that goal is and make sure that you stay on that path. Thank you so much, my good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali. And you know you have an open door invitation to the MGM Roundtable here on IWDM Radio. And want to say to our radio listening audience that the plan is the next time that Imam Dr. Bashir Ali come, he's not coming by himself. He's going to bring some students with him. And we're going to listen to some of these students. Yes, sir, brother, ma'am.
Inshallah, we're going to bring about four or five students with us next time, inshallah.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Bring the students. You know, the proof is in the pudding. Alhamdulillah.
Yes,
all right, so thank you so much, my dear brother, and may Allah continue to bless you and the outstanding work that you have done, still doing, and will continue to do for the best interest of this community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear brother. May Allah bless you as well in all the great work you're doing and all of us together, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, and there you have it, the second hour here on IWDM Radio, the MGM Roundtable. Our very special guest, one of our very scholarly learned imams, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, the national convener of imams, has graced us with his presence and given us an update on all that's being done in our community, as he is the national convener of imams and the outstanding work and programs that they have established to make sure and assure that this community can and will move forward. I want to say that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as this is a family affair. Tomorrow, that you can look and stay tuned here on IWDM Radio for the Sister Learning Lab, and that is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South, the ATL. We'll be joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab will start at 7 p.m. for those in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And please let them know it's going to be part two on polygyny. Yes, it's on family planning. On the premarital questionnaire, those who are inspired and aspiring to be married, you should be there. And also those who are newlyweds, you should be there. And those who have been married for a long time, you can get something. And also I would say those who are reaching the age of puberty, they should be listening in. This is where you need to be tomorrow here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It is part two on polygyny, and it's based on the four R's that Allah blessed me to be able to see based on the revelation in those four R's. So please tune in tomorrow here on IWDM Radio. And Friday is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, and that means Muslim worldwide that Salatul Jumu'ah. And you can get it if you're immobilized, can't get out and about. You can come back, but email Mikhail Sahir out of Indianapolis, Indiana. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Salatul Jumu'ah here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production, Words Make People, once again, with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir. And that's every Sunday afternoon. It begins at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. As you always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. At the beginning of the week, we have the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam hosting, and also his co-host, often recurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Yes, you want to bring your pen and pad and an open mind for outstanding information, a lot of great information on the science of your health, and you learn about your health and learn about you. That begins each and every Tuesday night. It's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. This past Tuesday, yesterday, they had a very special guest, our good brother and friend, Imam Shaheed Abdullah, talking about the effects, psychological effects, you understand, in terms of our thinking and how culture really plays a big part in that. So you want to go back into the archives and get all of that information. So that brings us right back to the night, which is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, with our very distinguished, esteemed co-host, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed, as we're on the outstanding publication of Parenting Skills based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, practical application for various ages, and you want to tune in for that and get that great information. We also want to make sure that you keep in mind September the 23rd and 24th, where there will be a dinner conference that will be held in Chicago. Some of the most outstanding intellects in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, will be making presentations. The dinner will be on September the 23rd. That will be a Friday evening, Friday night. Also, it will be preceded by Salatul Jumu'ah there. And Saturday, it will be all day of presentations. This will be the first major physical meeting of our community. You want to be there. It won't be live streamed, so you have to make plans to be there. We do ask that you go to studyalislam.com, studyalislam.com, get all the information, and you need to go ahead and get registered because the tickets for the dinner are becoming very, very few. So if you want to be there and see some of those believers you haven't seen in about 3 years, this is your opportunity to do that, and it's going to be some outstanding presentations as we prepare to give our beloved leader, Imam W. Dean Muhammad, the future that he has asked us to give to him, and also the preservation of the legacy of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. So we are supporting that.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares?
Thank you, radio listening audience. A special thanks go to you, because without you, that cannot and would not be IWDM radio. Special thanks go to my engineer, Rashid Salam, for doing an excellent job of engineering tonight. And so until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
World won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow, no.
Bells won't be ringing.
No, bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
Is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today,
children today,
really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
live. Such
a
bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop living.
When we can't stop living.
Live for life.
But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah.